welcome to another episode of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host, Ezekiel. I swear, guys, that hopefully we'll get back to a more regular schedule. Because I don't know about you, but I like talking about my pop culture every week. I like kind of gushing and disseminating the books that I'm reading, the comics and the graphic novels that I'm reading, the movies that I've seen, the TV that I'm watching, and stuff like. So, speaking of which, I've read a few books. I've watched a lot of TV because I don't know if you listened to the last episode that was kind of a mini cast, but I've been feeling under the weather for the last 3 weeks, so I've had an abundance of time, too much time, you could say. So the glass half full is that it's given me excuse to watch a lot of TV, which I normally wouldn't have. So there you go. But I also have another segment because last night at 1 in the morning I woke up and I stupidly read a ghost story on Reddit that was really cool. And as a quick aside, before we get into the main show, I love ghost stories. Like, I'm obsessed with ghost stories. Anytime there's like a story, like a collection of ghost stories, I usually read them. Anytime there's like a show about ghost stories, usually people recounting their stories, I'm all over it. Like, the Paranormal Witness is one of my favorite shows. I love Monsters and Mysteries in America. Trying to think. Sci-Fi's had a few kind of specials over the years where they had, like, school spirits. It was about haunted universities throughout the U.S. But anyways, I love those shows. They're my jam, so I listen to this really creepy story, and I wanted to share it. So I wanted to give you kind of a heads up too, that if you don't like scary stories, that you're like me and it kind of gets in your skin and your imagination starts percolating like coffee, probably just tune out at the end of the show, because I'm going to be telling a ghost story that it's a little spooky. Anyways, on to the main show. So right now, I am reading Deep Blue by Jennifer Donnelly. It is a YA about mermaids. I'm really enjoying it. I'm about 140 pages in. I think totally it's about 340 pages. Not a very long read. Like, if you're a fast reader like myself, you can probably read that in about 2.5 hours to 3 hours. I really love the world building that Donnelly has done. She has names for all the clans of mer people. She's got names for the spell. She's got names for the food. She's got names for just the world that the main character, Serafina, lives in. And she's a princess. And what I really liked about it is that it's just full of, like, strong women. And strong women are my jam. And I like it when the women, whatever medium there are in, whether it's like a book or a movie or a TV show or whatever, that they talk about things more than boys. And while there's a little bit of boy talking, because, you know, the main character is a 16-year-old mermaid, it's really more about family and honor, and kind of there's a war that breaks out and she kind of goes on the run. It's really good so far. It's better than I thought it would be. Like I said, the world building goes a long way for me as a writer myself. Whenever I can kind of feel immersed in the world around me, I get really excited. And it's always a good sign for me when I don't want to put a book down. And ever since I picked it up, I've been not wanting to finish it. And I've been kind of annoyed with myself because I haven't been feeling great. So usually my book reading skills are not at its peak. So I've been reading that. I also started, I'm going to forget the name of it. Steeplejack by A.J. Langer. And it's really, really good. It's about a young woman who kind of restores old buildings, especially churches and stuff. And it's kind of like in a post-apocalyptic Africa, which is the main reason I picked it up, because I just thought that was interesting. And she ends up becoming a detective and looking for this missing, like, lighthouse lens. I'm kind of reading that and Deep Blue simultaneously, and they're both really, really good. I took a break from Steeplejack because I wanted to just read Deep Blue, but both are really good. Like I said, I haven't finished it, so I don't want to give, like, a full recommendation, but if you like YA, you like strong female characters, both are really good. I couldn't I couldn't recommend them more. I'm really enjoying them so far. So that's nice. For comics, I haven't read a ton of comics. I finished the first volume of Paper Girls. I had read the first issue when it came out because I have friends at a comic shop and they really recommended it. They said, Zeke, this is totally your jam. I really enjoyed the first book, but I've been doing this thing where I don't want my bookshelf just full of like 5 or 6 issues of a comic book where then like the graphic novel or trade comes out 6-7 months down the line. And then you've got too much space. I try really hard to support my local comic shops. I've never even read an ebook aside from one, and I understand the space issue. I think that just in terms of accessibility, it probably would be much better and more efficient to get an e-reader, but I like a physical book and comics as well. I like flipping the pages, I like the smell of it, and I also like supporting my local comic book shops, which there are many in my city. So shout out to all of them. So I read Paper Girls Volume 1. I really, really enjoyed it. I liked the story. When I heard from a couple of my friends, they said, oh, it goes south in like issue 3 and it's not very good. And I kind of disagreed. I really connected with the characters. I thought the story was like banana crazy, and I liked it. And I'm really excited for Paper Girls Volume 2. I actually really want to read that now. There's a ton of books that I really want to read. I've got like probably 20 books that when I have money, like I want to read Archie Volume 1 and Jughead Volume 1 because they've done really good things with reestablishing that universe and that brand and those characters like in the last year. I really want to read the new version of A-Force. They did it last year, but now there's kind of like a new feel, and I don't know if I said in a previous podcast, I liked the idea of A-Force, I like the idea of a team of female superheroes, but I just thought the writing was kind of weak. It wasn't as good as I thought it could be. I've heard really good things about A-Force, so I want to do that. Ultimates is another one that I want to pick up because I love the character of America Chavez, Miss Marvel. She's from an alternate universe, and I just think she's just really badass. The first time I saw her was in the first issue of A-Force, and she punched a shark, and I just was like, and she complained, and she's just is like, I'm gonna put my fist in your face, and I'm like, okay, I love this character, she's great. So the fact that America Chavez has her own comic book, she's on a superhero team, I have to read it. I haven't really heard any good things about that. What else? I need to pick up the first volume of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur because I enjoyed the first issues of that. I also need to pick up the first volume of Patsy Walker, aka Hellcat. I don't know if you guys have watched Jessica Jones, but Patsy was a character in that. She's got her own comic book. It's written by Kate Leth. I read the first 3 issues, and I really enjoyed them, so there's that. What else? I still need to pick up Volume 4 of Lumberjanes. I need to pick up Volume 2 of Bitch Girl. And Bill and Ted's Triumphant Return is another one that I need to pick up, as well as Lantern City and Wild's End. There's a lot of comics that I need to buy. I also need to finally read Volume 2 of Captain Marvel and Volume 2 of Miss Marvel. I really enjoyed the first volumes. It just, again, there's just so many comics, not enough money, not enough time, you know the old drill. So that's kind of what I'm reading for books and comics lately. In terms of TV, I have watched a lot. I watched the first season of Gilmore Girls about a week ago. I did a previous like mini cast about it. I love Gilmore Girls. I cannot stop gushing about it. It took every strength in my body not to immediately binge season 2. But I looked at the list. I've made this list of from 2016 of all the shows that I'm watching. So right now, currently, my Mondays, I have Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. I've got Brain Dead. I've really been enjoying Brain Dead. It's this really quirky show about how like alien bugs are taking over the government in Washington. It stars Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Most people would know her from Scott Pilgrim. She played the love interest Ramona Flowers. So that's my Mondays. Tuesday, I'm watching Dead of Summer. I go back and forth on Dead of Summer. I like the idea of it. It's just sometimes the episodes are really good. Sometimes the episodes are really bad. So that's Dead of Summer. Wednesday is season 2 of Mr. Robot. I haven't been enjoying season two as much. You know those times where like a show will have a really strong first season, like everything is just clicking and firing on all cylinders, and then it comes back for the second season, and you just wonder if it needed a second season at all. Like if the first season was just kind of good enough, and I wondered that with Mr. Robot. I felt the same way with Unreal this year as well. Both Unreal and Mr. Robot I really enjoyed last summer, and the seasons just aren't as strong enough. Like I just enjoyed season one a lot more better, but there's only four episodes left of Mr. Robot, so I'm just gonna power through and get it done. On Sunday, The Strain finally premiered, season three of The Strain. I 2 years ago when it premiered, that show was my jam. I love vampires so much. I love scary vampires. I loved all the actors and stuff. Season two wasn't great. The premiere of season three, which I watched yesterday, was pretty good. So that's kind of like my weekly plan. But I noticed I had just so many shows. There was The Night Owl that I was trying to finish. I have 8 episodes left of Horace and Pete. I have 9 episodes left of Roadies, the Cameron Crowe show on Showtime. 9 episodes of Wrecked, which is kind of the Lost spoof / parody that's on TBS. I have 2 seasons left of Penny Dreadful. 6 episodes left of Vice Principals, which just started on HBO. I think the first season is done. I think all 6 episodes, or 7 episodes in this case, are done. I've got 6 seasons of Gilmore Girls to watch. There's a lot of episodes of Gilmore Girls. And I just started watching The Americans. So those are the shows that I'm currently working on. And then over the last week, I finished a lot of shows. I watched the two pilots for Amazon. I watched The Last Tycoon, which is an unfinished adaptation of Scott Fitzgerald's last novel about kind of the golden age of Hollywood in the 20s. It stars Kelsey Grammer and Matt Bomer from White Collar on USA Network. It was okay. I mean, I wasn't really a big fan of Mad Men, and it's very Mad Men-esque. The character I really connected to in the pilot was, of course, the female character. I really liked her. Then I got mad because, of course, it's set in that 20s time period where men just don't respect women or really sexist, and of course that angered me because the women were a lot smarter than the men. I was like, you know, if you just listen to her, there's no reason why she can't be a writer and producer. But that's just Zeke Rantz. So then I watched the pilot of The Tick, the 2016 version of The Tick. I loved the cartoon growing up that was on Fox Kids. There was a previous live action adaptation on Fox, I think from 2001 with Patrick Warburton. It was good. It's just, it needed a lot of work. I liked the guy who played The Tick. I thought he kind of embodied the character and its quirks really well, but just as a whole, it was just kind of all over the place. I finished The Get Down on Netflix. It took a while to get going. The pilot is really long, and in the most respectful way I can say, it's just really tedious. I love you, Baz Luhrmann, but it's a really long pilot, and it just kind of drags. By episode 3, the characters were clicking. I love the musical elements. I love hip-hop. When it's done right, and it's they're not, you know, disrespecting women and calling people the N-word all the time. I like hip-hop. So the musical stuff, like when they were DJing and showing kind of the early thing of like rapping and rhymes and stuff and the origins of it, that stuff was fantastic. The stuff with the character Mylene, where she's a daughter of a church pastor and she wants to be a disco queen, that stuff was amazing. I finally made my way through the Night of miniseries. It was 8 episodes. I loved the pilot despite hating the main character. And I just, because it was a miniseries, it was 8 episodes, I thought, well, I'll just watch it. I finally got to The Americans. This is a show that critics have been telling me for the last 3 years is the best show on television currently. Everyone says it's Game of Thrones, but I think that's more just kind of personal bias. I think people sometimes forget that their favorite show doesn't necessarily equate with best show, right? Like, Game of Thrones is a fine show. I just finished the rewatch of season one and remembered how much I loved season one of Game of Thrones. But if from my watch of season one of The Americans, I gotta tell you, of all the shows I've watched this summer, the two shows I've fallen in love with the most has been Gilmore Girls and The Americans. It wasn't a perfect season of television, but everything from the characters to the writing to the atmosphere, I loved the 80s setting was just amazing. I went through those 13 episodes like really quickly. I binged them as fast as I can. Today I've actually watched the first episode of season 2 of The Americans. I've also watched the first episode of season 2 of Gilmore Girls, and I'm so in love. Like, there's this scene in Gilmore Girls, guys, where like Luke and Lorelai are arguing about like popsicles because she just told him, Luke, she's engaged to Max Bedina, the teacher from Rory's school at Chiltern, and just, I love their banter. But again, when are these two kids gonna get together? I need to see Luke and Lorelai kiss. I need it so bad. Break up with Max Bedina so that you can kiss Luke, Lorelai, please. Just for Ezekiel. He's sick. He's lying in bed. Do it for Ezekiel. Please. So that's the TV I'm watching. Now on to the last segment of our show, which is a ghost story. So quick story. I'd heard about a story while researching for a short story that I want to write about a young girl who had died in a hotel in LA in 2013. She was originally from Vancouver, which is in, you know, the province of British Columbia in my country, Canada. And she was in LA. She was staying at this hotel, Hotel Cecil or Cecil. I'm not sure the correct pronunciation, but, you know, one of the two. And she disappeared and she was found like 2.5 weeks later, floating like in the water tank on the top of the roof. And it was very mysterious. And the reason why it kind of my research led to this girl is that people were speculating there was a supposed video camera that was released to the public. I haven't watched it because apparently it's creepy. And I was, again, for context, I was reading this story at 1:30 in the morning, and I really didn't want something that would make me stay up further instead, so I've avoided looking at the footage. But I'm sure if you Google like the woman's name, I'm sure you can find it very easily if that's kind of your thing. But anyways, people were speculating on Reddit that she played the elevator game, and that's what led to her disappearance and possibly her demeanor that night on the camera footage. And if you, like me, had never heard of the elevator game, I went to my handy friend Google, and I'm going to read you the elevator game plus the story that I found on Reddit. So here we go. The elevator game is performed by going, you must go in a 10-story building and you have to be in the elevator alone. Those details are crucial. It says if someone is in the elevator with you, it won't work. So step one, you have to get on the elevator on the first floor. You have to press 4 on, you know, the number pad, and when you reach the fourth floor, then you don't get out and you press 2. When you reach the second floor, press 6. When you get to the sixth floor, press 2. When you reach the second floor, press 10. And when you reach the 10th floor, press 5. When you reach the fifth floor, a little girl will come in. This woman is not human. Don't talk or look at the girl. If you do, she'll take you away. It's not specified where she'll take you away, but I'm assuming it's not pleasant, guys. Step 8 is you press 1. So the girl, whatever it is, this creature that's presuming the form of a young girl is in the elevator with you. So you're supposed to press 1. If the elevator instead goes to the 10th floor, then you have succeeded. You will have reached another world where there is no one except you. So the inference is that it's almost like a parallel universe or dimension, where the floor you get off on is not in our world. The complete floor of the hotel is black. There's nothing but kind of like a red cross in the background. So once you get off at the 10th floor, the girl will ask you, where are you going? You're not supposed to look at her. You're not supposed to answer her. You're supposed to have no eye contact. So when you walk around, the lights are all off on the floor of the hotel. And like I said, you will only see a red cross in the distance. There are no other living things there except you. Depending on the story, depending on the version of accounts, electronics like phones, cameras don't work. Some say they do. But the main thing is that getting back to the quote unquote real world is very difficult. And if you don't do it right, you supposedly never return. So you will feel disoriented once walking along this floor, and you sometimes forget the elevator that you come on. It's very important that you remember the exact elevator that you come on. So how to return? If the woman doesn't get on, and if you don't get off the 10th floor, you press 1, If it doesn't work, you keep pressing until it works. You must use the same elevator to go back. You must type in the same exact combination. So go to the fourth floor, second floor, sixth floor, second floor, 10th floor, five floor again. Once you reach the fifth floor, press one. As you're going to the 10th floor, press some other number to cancel. And then once you reach the first floor, check your surroundings. So that's the game. It's very crucial, according to the rules, that you don't faint at all in the process, because if you faint, then you wind back up on that hotel room and then you have to do the whole thing again. And again, it's just, it's very crucial that you don't screw it up, because supposedly, and again, according to the rules, people don't return. So on to the story. The Reddit user's name is Michaela Doesn't Rituals. There's an apartment building about a 5-minute walk from my house, and it has 20 floors, so finding a building wasn't an issue. I started walking there around 4:30 a.m. Since I don't want anyone to go up around and using the elevator, that would be a bitch, to be honest. Everything was dark and silent, and getting in wasn't a problem. There was like one security guard outside the gates, but he didn't seem to care much since I'm a tame-looking 20-year-old white girl. Probably looked like I was coming back from a late Friday night party. Summoning demons and shit in your general vicinity, son. There were stairs on the right and three elevators on the left, and everything was quiet. I got into one of the elevators, the one in the middle, and did the 4-2-6-2-10-5 combo. I won't bore you with the details. When the elevator stopped in the fifth floor, I had to hold in a fucking scream because the girl was standing there almost in my face, and I had to try really, really hard not to stare her right in the fucking face. She wasn't even a girl. She was more of a halo of dark energy that glowed really brightly, if that makes sense. I don't remember much about her, which is pretty fucking weird. She was wearing a dress of some sort and had short dark hair. I've done Ouija boards, I've done rituals. Hell, I didn't even panic like this during The Hooded Man. But being in the elevator with that girl made me internally freak out like nothing else. I shakily pressed one and boom. The elevator started going up to the 10th floor, and instead of being relieved that I was doing it right, it made me panic for no fucking reason. The doors opened right on the hallway of the 10th floor. I had never seen it before. In normal circumstances, but it was so dark. I couldn't see the end of the corridor, but right at the very end, I could see this strange, dark, glowing light. I shakily stepped foot out of the elevator, and in my head, all I could hear was a stupid, whiny girl's voice going, "Where are you going, Michaela?" Of course, the ritual said to ignore it, so I did. And leaving the girl standing there, I started walking down the hallway. As I progressed further past the glowing light at the end of the hallway, it illuminated the space around me. The apartment doors on either side were rusted shut, like they hadn't been open in years. And as my eyes focused the stupid darkness, I figured out that the red light was in fact a glowing cross. Not the Jesus crucifixion cross, but like an addition sign, if anything. It was uneventful for the most part, but the air was heavy with something, and it was making me really fucking antsy. Also, it felt like the more I walked towards the cross, the more it grew away from me, and I was pretty fucking determined to get to it, until these stupid doors started banging and rattling and knocking, and it was the most terrifying fucking thing. No rituals ever made me book it to the elevator like this one, thank God. I took care to take the one I came in on, because I couldn't think straight at the time. This might sound really rushed, but I didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted out. I didn't even want to write about it. I reached it fairly quickly, and I swear to God, I fucking stabbed the call button like nothing else. It took me 10 fucking decades to show up, and those doors didn't stop rattling until I was inside the elevator and hazily doing the combo. I had never been more relieved to reach that first fucking door. Everything looked normal. No more heavy air, no more darkness. Security guard was still there, and yet I couldn't stop fucking panicking. I ran home so fucking fast, and I know it sounds embarrassing now because I didn't even do anything, but I could not stop crying. I think the guard thought I was on something. I got home, I watched a movie to make myself feel better. I even started writing the first part of this post. So the first part sounds cheerier than the second. It's because I wasn't as terrified then as I am now. I even remember replying to someone's Reddit comment saying I had done the ritual and I was alive and well and I would write about it the following day. I think I passed out around 7 because I don't remember falling asleep. I woke up on that floor. I was so terrified because I had been on my couch. And the ritual had said that if you make it home, you won't be taken back. But yet, there I was, passed out on the same stupid carpet hallway with that air around me and no sunlight anyways. There was no cross, but the panic I felt was like nothing fucking else. And I swear to God, I've never run home this fast. I don't even want to remember it. I don't even want to write about it. I don't want to do anything, which is why I procrastinated making a post for so long. Something about this ritual unhinged me. And although nothing happened the second time, just waking up there made me feel scared. Today, I finally built up the nerve to write about it, and I feel a little better now, but I'm so panicky and I feel so followed by something. I have no idea why. There's nothing there, but I haven't slept properly since Sunday night. I feel like there's something looking at me all the time, and I want it to stop. That's the post by Claudia. So thanks so much, guys. Next week, it'll be business as usual. I plan to finish Deep Blue by Jennifer Donnelly and Steeplejack by A.G. Langer, but no promises, just depending on the stupid health thing that I'm dealing with. But anyways, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.